Now, one of the great stories here in New York has been the Islanders this year. Look at those standings, the Metropolitan Division. There they are, 4 points ahead of Washington, 6 points ahead of Columbus, and 7 points ahead of the Hurricanes and the Penguins. Alone atop the Met Division with 79 points, fresh off a shutout win last night behind Robin Leonard. The New York Islanders, Nick Hershon's book is out. We Want Fish Sticks, talking about the marketing deal the Islanders made about 20 years ago. Here he is talking first place Islander hockey, our friend Nick Hershon. Good morning, Nick.
Hey, Sid. How are you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Doing great. This is quite a story, the Islanders atop the Metropolitan Division. We knew they had some good young players. No one could have predicted Leonard and Greece would be this good in the Nets. They're getting the best goaltending in the league, quite frankly. How surprised are you, Nick, as a lifelong Islander fan, they've been this good?
I'm very surprised. I mean, the Islanders have struggled to find consistent goaltending for years. From Rick DiPietro and Dwayne Rolison, Evgeny Nabokov, Yaroslav Halak, they've had all of these veterans who are past their prime. And then this year, they lose John Tavares in free agency. They bring in Robin Leonard. They pair him with Thomas Greiss as their goalie. And to have this tandem where no team in the NHL is giving up fewer goals at 5-on-5 and overall than the Islanders this year. They're probably the best of all time. They're top five in the league in goals against and save percentage. And in the offseason, Leonard was talking about how he had struggled with suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol addictions. People were kind of concerned about how he was going to do, but he's been just amazing. You mentioned last night versus the Canucks, 35 saves. He shuts them out. Greiss has 17 wins, 2.26 GAA.
Yep.
So it's just amazing the way they're performing.
No, it really is. And Leonard, you're right. That is a tremendous story. You know, guys that don't follow hockey all that closely, they realize, of course, that Ovechkin and the Caps finally won the Cup last year, but they couldn't tell you who the coach was. Of course, you know it's Trotz. And then I said to these guys, I go, now, do you know that same coach that coached the Capitals to a Stanley Cup win last year is coaching in Brooklyn? There really can't be much of a surprise. Or I shouldn't say, that's got to make a difference. This guy coached the Caps to a Stanley Cup win last year. Now he's got the Islanders in first. So how much credit do you give Trotz here in Brooklyn?
You got to give him tons. I mean, it started with the Islanders getting Lou Lamoriello, who led the Devils to 3 Stanley Cups as their GM. But then when you hire Barry Trotz, who just won the Stanley Cup, it brings immediate legitimacy to a franchise that desperately needed it after more than a decade of Gar Snow in charge. And you had Mike Milbury as their GM before that. You have people in charge as the coach and general manager you can really trust. And obviously the players are buying into his system. That's why they went from one of the worst defenses in the league last year to one of the best. That's why all these players are really going above what anyone would have expected.
You know, you talk about Lou Lamoriello and his success in New Jersey with the Devils. And tomorrow, of course, is the trade deadline. If folks missed it earlier this morning, the Rangers traded away one of their very popular players. 9 years, Matt Zuccarello, on his way to the Dallas Stars. Isles are in first place. Doesn't seem like that guy's coming off the injured list, too. So they're getting even better the next couple of days. Doesn't seem like they need a lot of changes, but Lamoriello is always a very active guy. What do you think, Nick, the Islanders may do before tomorrow's trade deadline?
Well, it'll be interesting. Like you said, they're going to have Andrew Ladd, Thomas Hickey coming off the injured reserve, so we'll see where they'll slot in. But it doesn't look like, even though they're really good right now, they're first place in the Metro, but a lot of people are concerned they probably won't get past the Capitals or whoever emerges from the Atlantic Division in the playoffs. So I'm looking at a few guys. Hopefully, Artemi Panarin from Columbus, he's 27. He wants to test free agency after the year. He has a lot of scoring punch that would be great on that first line with Matt Barzal. You know, 24 goals, 34 assists, but the Blue Jackets apparently want players that are going to help them win now, so that might be tough for the Islanders. Some people are looking at them getting Matt Duchene from Ottawa, but yep. He was traded the other day.
Yep.
So it looks like now they might ship away Mark Stone, and if they can get him, 26 goals, 62 points in 59 games. Mike Hoffman from Florida, Kevin Hayes from the Rangers, and I'd be good with the Islanders giving away some of the guys from their prospect pool. I mean, they have Kiefer Bellows, Noah Dobson, Josh Hosang, who has not really worked out here ever since he showed up late for the first day of training camp in 2015, didn't set his alarm, and so it really hasn't been a good ride for him on Long Island. So I'm thinking trade away guys like that. Maybe you're going to have to give away some guys from your NHL roster, Brock Nelson, Anthony Beauvillier, Jordan Eberle. You're going to have to give up something to get something.
Right.
It may hurt to lose for a rental, but some of these guys, you can re-sign them, and I think it's worth it. I think they're so close to being a legit Stanley Cup contender for the first time in my fandom, for sure, that you got to go all in.
tell you, one of the guys that has really knocked, you know, you talk about Barzal, you know, they may trade one of these guys like you talked about, a Bailey, a Nelson, a Bavuia. Obviously, Andrews Lee's having a big year, but I think the guy that's really come on this year, Nick Kershaw, has impressed every hockey fan out there is Casey Cizikas. This guy's having a career year, and I think that he's one of the MVPs, obviously, for the Islanders, and a guy with a really bright future.
Yeah, I mean, he's part of the heart and the soul of this franchise, right? Casey Cizikas, Cal Clutterbuck, those guys bringing so much ferocity, you know, and Matt Martin on that line. They're starting games. They used to be called the best fourth line in hockey, but now they're often in the starting lineup for the Islanders. They're just that good. They bring so much energy. And Cizikas, just as you're saying, he's scoring at a level that we never thought he could.
No.
And that's what makes this team feel like such a feel-good story. You know, it's that sort of chemistry. It's not that they have a lot of star players, but they just have a lot of guys who are coming together and producing under Trotz's system.
Cizikas, by the way, tied with Barzal with 17 goals, second of the team behind Anders Lee. He leads the club with 21 goals. Hey, John Tavares, you mentioned him earlier, gone before the start of this season, went to join Auston Matthews in Toronto with the Maple Leafs, but the Leafs are here Thursday night for the Islanders. The return of John Tavares. How's that going to go?
It's going to be unbelievable. That's the Coliseum. I mean, that place may not exist by Friday morning. It's just the Islanders fans, as you know, were really upset when John Tavares left in free agency. It sounded like he was going to stay on Long Island. He was their captain, first overall draft pick, and then he goes over to Toronto. And actually, surprisingly, right now the Islanders have more points than the Maple Leafs. They have 79. The Maple Leafs have 78.
Unreal.
But Tavares has been really good, yep. 34 goals this year. They're third in the Atlantic behind only Tampa Bay and Boston. So I think that it's going to be an electric atmosphere. The fans are going to be booing the whole night, or depending on who you trust, some say they're going to just be silent when they play the tribute video for Tavares on the scoreboard, or whatever it is. It's going to be just a crazy atmosphere, and then I hope the Islanders fans can kind of move past this, because honestly, why care about him anymore, this jilted, you know, lover? It's like, we could just move on. We have
right.
a great season, great team.
Unless they meet in the playoffs, of course, and they have to boo the hell out of him. But and you're right, they're right there. They're at 78 points, Boston 81, Tampa Bay 98. But talking about the National Coliseum, I mentioned this on the air with Bernard this week on the Bernie and Sid show, Nick, that I think, and to Peter King, the great congressman out of Long Island, Peter King said to him, we're talking about serious issues, national security, and this Putz McCabe, former FBI guy, and I said, how about the Islanders playing playoff games at Nassau Coliseum? How cool is that?
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, I just love the playoff atmosphere there. I've seen it multiple times versus the Maple Leafs, the Penguins, the Capitals. And now to have them have the first round, some Islanders fans are disappointed by that announcement that came out a week ago. It wasn't surprising, but still disappointing that they're only going to play the first round at Nassau Coliseum, and any future rounds would be at the Barclays Center. But it was kind of anticipated because of the discrepancy between the luxury boxes at the Coliseum and Barclays. It just makes much more financial sense to play a lot of those games in Brooklyn. But as you say, just the fact that there's going to be first round playoff hockey at Nassau Coliseum, which has happened so few times over the more recent decades, is going to be amazing.
It has happened a few times, which is why your book, We Want Fish Sticks, The Bizarre and Infamous Rebranding of the New York Islanders, is a great read. I talked earlier today about the 80-83 run with the Islanders after the Canadiens had won four in a row. Islanders won four in a row, including sweeping Edmonton for that fourth cup. Now, we know Edmonton won it the year after that and then went on to win 5 out of 7 with Gretzky and Messier. But after those Stanley Cup years, Nick, some lean times, especially about a decade later, that Milbury era and Hextall in the Nets, and boy, it was not very good, and the Islanders decided to kind of remarket themselves because the Stanley Cups were not coming back, and for some reason, somebody thought a good idea would be to put a guy on the jersey who looked like the Gorton's Fisherman, exactly like the Gorton's Fisherman, and that's why your book is titled We Want Fish Sticks. So the Islanders really stunk on the ice. Their branding stunk twice as much, only lasted maybe a year and a half or 2 years. And as we learn in your book, Nick, that does matter. Rebranding can really cripple an organization.
Yeah, unfortunately, the Islanders in this period were financially strapped, and they were trying to look for any way to get some quick cash. So they thought, maybe if we change our logo and we mirror the success of teams like the LA Kings after they got Wayne Gretzky, unveiled new jerseys, and they sold really well. The Anaheim Mighty Ducks, off of the success of the Disney movie, came into the league, and they were selling really well before they played a single game. So the Islanders figured, if we go with this cartoon fisherman, then maybe we'll get some people excited. But And they ended up doing no focus group testing, no interviews, really no research at all. And, of course, then fans made that connection that you just drew to the Gordon's Fishermen. Rangers fans start taunting the Islanders fans, chants of, "We want fish sticks." And it's something that you still hear sometimes today when you go to Madison Square Garden. So it was all just a really colorful period. And then they were chaos on the ice, in the locker room. There was so much beyond just the logo itself. They were bought by John Spano, who turns out to be a con artist, had to forfeit the team and end up in jail. Lots of other things in this era that really made it an embarrassment.
Well, the good news is you can read the book if you're an Islander fan now and relive all the embarrassments, Spano, the rebranding, and those lousy years getting swept by the Rangers in the playoffs. And now you've got today, where, again, the future looks so bright atop the Metropolitan Conference. And like you said, only Tampa Bay and Boston better inside the Eastern Conference. Let's bring you back a ton here, Nick, because this is a great time of year for NHL fans. Again, the trade deadline tomorrow, and then we get serious about the Stanley Cup playoffs. So the book is great. You're great. Thank you for stopping on Sid Sports Sunday. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sid.
All right, Nick. Excellent job. Nicholas Hirshon, once again, the book is We Want Fish Sticks. So